I want to use some scripture this morning out of the New Testament. And once in a while, when I begin to read the Word of the Lord, I find that it speaks to me probably more than to anyone else. And I tell people, yeah, forgot. That's a nervous, I forgot. I tell people that I hope as you read the Word of the Lord that you will allow it to speak to you as you study it, that you can make it applicable to your own life and not always just be saying, well, that's for somebody else. Sometimes it is for us. And so I try to keep in perspective what the Lord called me to do, and that is to preach His Word. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His coming and His appearing, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then he wrote to the young preacher Timothy in another place, and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then the Apostle Paul, when he came to the people of Corinth, when he came to them, he said, I came to you not with enticing word nor wisdom of this world, but in fear and demonstration of the power of God. In other words, what he effectively was saying is that I want you people to understand that the preaching that I'm doing is of the Lord, and that it is not based on my background of having studied at the feet of Gamaliel, but I am here and I'm ready to preach the gospel to you, that you might not put your faith and your confidence in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And certainly that's what each one of us as a child of God need to be able to do today, is to understand that the Lord, as he helps me to preach the word, that it is His word. It is not mine. It is His. And that what you need to understand and what you need to believe is His word, not my comments, not my interpretation of it, but what thus saith the Lord. I'm reminded of the old prophet that the Lord came to him and he spoke to him and he said, I'm going to send you down to the people of Israel. I'm going to send you down to your own people. They've strayed from me, they've gone away from me, and they've been placed in captivity, and I'm going to send you down to them, and I want you to go down there, and every time that you begin, I want you to begin your message with, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Lord says. And then he went ahead, and he said to the old prophet that he was going to send down there, he said, and I will tell you this before you go, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to hear you, or they won't believe you, because the Lord said, they won't listen to me. They won't hear me, and they won't believe me. So you need not expect when you go down there that they're going to hear you or that they're going to pay any attention to what it is you have to say. As much as I would like to think that maybe people do listen to what I say and what I preach, I recognize, according to the word of the Lord, that most people are not going to pay any attention, and they're not going to heed what the word says. Not because I'm preaching it or someone else is preaching, because they aren't going to pay any attention to what the Lord is saying. And that's just a matter of fact as you can be about things. And so the Lord said to this old prophet, he said, now listen though, I'm going to send you down there. And when I send you down there, they're going to be hard-headed people. They are rebellious people. They are a stiff-necked people. And he said, you go down there and you begin every time so and say, thus saith the Lord God. And then he said, whether they hear or whether they forbear, in other words, whether they listen or whether they don't, they will know there hath been a prophet among them. So my responsibility this morning is not to try to convince you of God having called me to preach, because it's immaterial whether you believe that or not. I know this morning that he did call me to preach. I know this morning that I have the responsibility to preach to you what thus saith the Lord. That is uppermost in my heart and my mind, is that I preach to you what the word of the Lord teaches. And it's important that you then study the word of the Lord so that you identify that is what is being preached. As a church, you have a responsibility. As a member of the church, you have a responsibility to see that the man who occupies this pulpit preaches what thus saith the Lord God, whether that's me or whether that's somebody else. But you have that responsibility. You see, as a part of the church, that is your responsibility. And I hope that you understand that there are times whenever that each one of us, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. There are times whenever that, not deliberately, not intentionally, would I ever mislead you. But there are times whenever I begin to give you my thought or my interpretation, that is certainly subject to being just that. It's subject to error. The Word of God is without error. God's Word is perfect. You can rely upon it. You can depend upon it. And so certainly I want you to know that you should have every confidence in what thus saith the Lord and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want you to listen now to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Remember now, this is a people who've been accustomed to having a great amount of emphasis in their lives upon the culture that they lived upon, on knowledge, upon art, and all of the other things that make life good. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, I want you to listen to this. He said, to those who are lost, effectively, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There is nothing that will substitute. I don't care how elaborate of a presentation that a person can make. It doesn't make any difference to me how many letters they've got after their name insofar as how much they've been educated. It doesn't make any difference to me as to how little there may be back there. It doesn't make any difference of how flowery the sermon may be. It needs to be what thus saith the Lord God. You need to keep that in mind. I was visiting, as y'all know, I was gone this last week, and I was visiting, and I found out that as much as they like to think they're different in Tennessee, they're not a lot different than our people are here, and they experience many of the same things that we do. And one of the fellows was telling me about one of the church where they had gone before they came there to Murfreesboro, and how that they had gone in and they had updated everything, and I say updated, I'm talking about bring it up to date to what the culture of our society wants today. They painted all the walls in the church black, and they brought in all the big video screens, and the preachers now were dressing very informal, and everybody could come and do whatever they wanted to do, and the bands were so loud that you couldn't hear, and on and on and on. And he said, and you know, that just wasn't what I wanted. Well, that's what most people are wanting today. And I can tell you, you'll have to get a different pastor if you want that here. I'm not going to be up here advocating that we paint the walls black, or I'm not even sure that I want to advocate that we're going to get any more comfortable for y'all, because you've got it so comfortable now, people won't come. You get the air conditioner going, you get the pads in the pews and everything, and so you do everything that seems like maybe people would enjoy, and for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to do the trick either. Well, I know you're not going to be willing to give those up, and I'm not wanting you to. But what I want you to see is that the preaching of the gospel to the world that's lost is foolishness. It is foolishness. He said, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? I'm reading out the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, started in with the 18th verse. Forgot to tell you that. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I want to be sure you understand something there. Don't go out of here and say the preacher got up there and read this morning that by foolish preaching is what God chose to save people. That's not what I said. There's a lot of foolish preaching going on in the world today. But he said, by the foolishness of preaching. It's important you get that in proper perspective there, because there's a difference in foolish preaching and by the foolishness of preaching. You see, he said to the world that it's foolish. The preaching of the gospel is foolish. But there are preachers today who are preaching foolishness. And there are people who are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. That's what most of them would rather hear than hear. Most of our people today don't want to hear that they're sinners, that they're sinning, that they need the Lord in their lives, that they need to hear the gospel, they need to repent of their sin, they need to be saved, and then they need to live a circumspect life. It's okay to get part of it, but we don't want all of it. And so then we say, okay, let's kind of mix it up and give them what they want. Now, I don't recall that any of you have ever come to me and said, well, I want you to preach such and such a sermon. There have been some times when some have come and said, I wish you'd preach a little more on Revelation or some subject that is a favorite of theirs, but most of you are smart enough to know that I don't get to call the shots as to what I preach on anyway. I've told you that many, many times. I still depend upon the Lord. It takes the Spirit and the leadership of the Lord. I will share with you, I've not shared this, I guess. I didn't share it with the church in Murfreesboro, but I will share with you that when Kenneth called me and told me that they had invited me to come and I'd accepted the call within a matter of probably minutes, not just as soon as I hung up, but when the Lord began to deal with me about it, I had every text for every sermon that I was going to preach while I was there. And I thank the Lord for that. I hadn't told that, because, man, I thought that could change, you know. But I just was so thankful that God worked and made that so easy in that respect. But that's the way God can do. Now, he could have just kept me shut off, and I would have not had a single one until it came time to get in the pulpit. I've worked it that way many times, too. So please don't misunderstand me. My point that I want to make this morning is that when a man has been called of God to preach the Word, he has to rely upon God, and he has to depend upon the Holy Spirit. There are none of us who are smart enough. There are none of us. See, God takes a... I'm going to read to you in a minute. I'll hush my comments because I'm going to run out of time. I had a handicap down there. They didn't have a clock up in the church to where I could see it. So after my first sermon, I went back over one of the guys who was in the sound system. I said, okay, how long was it? He said, just barely over 30 minutes. I said, okay, that's max right there. Now, I think probably I may have run over a little. I'll find out whenever we get them, and I can go back and check the time. And please understand, you know, I recognize that you all have never put any time limits on me, but I know there's a billion time frame here. And I'll preach every how long the Lord gives me to preach. But if I get over 30 minutes, you're going to get a little nervous. I know that. And so I do have the advantage of having a clock here so I can watch. But I want you to listen to what the word of the Lord says. He said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now listen to what Paul is saying. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, Paul, what he's really saying to these people, you know, we preach one thing to, they want, one group wants one thing, another group wants another thing. But he said, when we preach the gospel to those who have been saved, you know, it is the power of God unto salvation. Now listen, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I like that. If God has any stupidity about him, it's still so much smarter than any of us, or that we couldn't identify it anyway. I don't think there is anything foolish about God or stupid about God, but I'll guarantee you, if there is, it's so far above us that we couldn't identify, we wouldn't recognize it. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Same thing. If God has any weakness, it's still stronger than anything there has ever been about any of us. Now listen. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Remember, I've told you all this before. I can read the word of the Lord and get put in my place pretty quick whenever I begin to think about God having called me to preach. And I'm thankful that he did, but I certainly, as I mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't choose this. I didn't look after this. I didn't want this for my life. But I'm thankful that God chose me. But listen to what the word of the Lord says now, and then I can understand why he would call someone like me. People used to say, I cannot even imagine Kit Parson being called a priest. Now, I can understand Lee being called a priest. And I look at him and think, my Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't know either one of us as well as they thought they did. Mm-hmm. But anyway, listen to what he says. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Yeah, that fits me, Stan. It's amazing. You know, I had a little person come up to me after one of the services this past week and say to me, you know what? I just enjoyed you so much, but I've never seen anybody get down and come down like that like you did. I said, well, I was supposed to be staying up there, but I that's just not me, you know. And I'm sure I must have thought, my Lord, what is wrong with that guy, you know? Y'all are used to it. Can I share with them another little incident? Yeah. I was so proud and so thankful for these guys who came down and surprised me, and they did surprise me. But during one of the services, at the close of the service, Massey got up and he said, okay. He said, tonight we're going to have a parson dismissal. Well, I knew right away where this was going. So he said, come on, get up here. So I came up and I said, anyone, any word, anything upon your heart? Nobody said anything. I said, you're at liberty to go. They all just kind of stood there and looked at each other. They didn't know what to do. Kenneth told me afterwards, he said, you know, these people, they didn't know what it was not to have a benediction. They were still waiting for somebody to pray. I said, well, you called for it. So I said, that's the way we did it, you know. And I'm sure, you know, they must have thought this guy is really from out. Well, they have a right to think that because God says in his word, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught those that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, that's why I can stand up here this morning and say without any reservation, I'm so thankful that God can take someone like me and can use me to preach the gospel because I know what it is that he takes. I know who he chose. And so it's important that we understand that God can take any of us and use us in a way that will glorify him. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so I have the wonderful privilege of every week standing here before you and representing the best there has ever been in this world when I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And my responsibility is to preach to you what he teaches in his word. And I thank you for the opportunity that I have to do that. But in turn, each one of you have the opportunity to serve him and to represent him in your lives wherever you are. We don't only represent him when we're here in church. We represent him wherever we are, every day of our lives. And yes, it is a little confusing to a world that's lost. It is foolishness unto them. But how thankful we should be to this morning that God has granted us the privilege of being one of his children.